I'm Anxious to Do This. We are joined right now by a senior writer for ESPN. He is the author of four books, including three New York Times bestsellers. His list of books includes Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time. Ian O'Connor is my guest. Ian, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, Jim. How's it going?
Good, good. Ian, great to have you back. Thanks so much. You've got a great piece up right now that breaks down how Tampa Bay developed a plan to sign Tom Brady. So let me jump right into that. As you detail at the start of the piece, the plan was called Operation Shoeless Joe Jackson. Who came up with that name, Ian, and what's it say about how Tampa Bay approached it?
Well, actually, Jim, that was John Spytek who came up with the name. He is a former Brady teammate at Michigan who's the director of player personnel with the Buccaneers, and he just happens to be a Field of Dreams fan, and so he decided they wanted a code name for this pursuit, which was a real long shot. And lo and behold, Tom Brady actually did walk out of that cornfield and showed up in Tampa Bay. So there were people in that organization, including the GM, Jason Light, who, of course, is a former Belichick scout and executive in New England with two stints there with the Patriots. Jason Light himself was very surprised that they landed Tom Brady, the greatest free agent of all time. And so I think that Tampa's now looking at it like, hey, we had a quarterback last year in Jameis Winston who committed 35 turnovers, and we went 7-9 and lost a bunch of close games. And I think Brady's looking at that roster and that record and what Winston did turning the ball over last year, saying, I could have gone 11-5 with that team. So we'll see how it plays out. I think it's a big gamble. If I were Brady, I would have stayed in New England. I think that was the safer play. But the one thing about Brady and some other great athletes I've admired from afar over the years, Jim, is he does not fear the consequences of failure. And I think he's proved that with this transaction.
Ian O'Connor is joining us. All right, so a lot of good information in that response. So, Ian, if it were a long shot and they thought so internally, when did they first start to think that they had a serious and legitimate shot at landing Tom Brady?
So that Monday phone call with Don Yee, Brady's agent, that surprised them at how encouraging that phone call was. And then Tuesday, of course, so we're looking at what, around March 17th when Brady announces in social media that he's leaving New England. So going into that phone call Wednesday, it was Jason Light drove over Bruce Arians' house. They had it Wednesday evening in Bruce Arians' living room, and they talked to Brady for 90-plus minutes. And early on in that phone call, I think they were shocked at how enthusiastic Brady was about playing for Tampa Bay, which is, as you know, Jim, the losingest franchise in all of North American sports with a career winning percentage of .387. So here's the ultimate winner recruiting the ultimate loser franchise.
Right.
And so it was really early in that phone call where Jason Light looked at Bruce Arians in his living room and gave him a thumbs up, like, this guy's going to come play for us. So it was shocking to a number of people in that organization.
Ian O'Connor joining us right now. He's got this piece up. It is a really, really good read. So what about Arians, Ian? And he's got mantras like, no risk it, no biscuit. Win or lose, we booze. It's amazing. How different is that from Belichick?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, could you imagine Belichick ever saying those words?
No.
And I know there's a prominent former player of Arians who once asked him about managing defeat, and he gave a shortened version of that quote where he said, hey, if we lose, we booze. And that player was stunned by that response. But it's a big gamble for Brady to trade Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time, with 31 postseason victories for a head coach with one postseason victory, Bruce Arians. So I understand that Brady's eager to work with a guy who's a lighter touch, and obviously Arians has had a lot of success with big-time quarterbacks in the NFL, but that's still a major gamble. It's also a huge gamble to go with Jason Light, who's been the GM in Tampa for 96 games and lost 62 of them. So, I mean, the one thing is Jason Light did get Evans and Godwin and hired Arians. Without those three hires or acquisitions, Tom Brady doesn't sign up, so he deserves some credit for that as well.
Ian O'Connor is my guest. Ian, like you, I really respect that Brady is taking this risk, is putting himself out there. It is a major gamble. Now, one friend is quoted in your piece as saying, quote, Tom was Belichicked out after 20 years. What do you make of that comment?
Well, I don't know of any incident that occurred between Belichick and Brady this year. In fact, based on people I talked to, their relationship this year was actually better than it was in 2017 when it was pretty much a complete mess. And I know for a fact that after that 2017 season, deep into that offseason in March, Brady was thinking of leaving the Patriots and not playing for Belichick anymore. But I think that relationship improved. Obviously, they won the Super Bowl the following year. But I just think after 20 years of being coached in a very relentless, unforgiving way every single day, combined with the fact that Brady in these final years got tired of begging for multi-year contracts, you put those two things together, and that's what I believe that friend meant when he said he was Belichicked out.
We are talking to Ian O'Connor. He is a senior writer for ESPN. He's authored 4 books, and he's got a really interesting piece up right now on Tom Brady. So, Ian, in your opinion, how much of Brady's move to Tampa Bay was about the roster that you mentioned that Light had assembled and the weapons he'd have, and then how much of that was about a change of scenery and a change of attitude?
That's a very good question. It might be a 50-50 split. I do think he looked at that roster. I know for a fact on that conference call with Arians and Jason Light, he cited defensive playmakers he really liked. Of course, he talked about the receivers and Arians' offense and his history with quarterbacks. So a lot of positive things. Playing in warm weather as you age, of course, is another positive. But I do think he was looking for a lighter touch in the position of head coach. If you think about it, Jim, even going back to his college years, he had 5 really tough years under Lloyd Carr. So 25 straight years of being coached in a tough love, unforgiving way, Bruce Arians is going to coach him that way. Bruce Arians is about, hey, let's grab a beer, let's go play 9 holes of golf, we could sneak it in. And I do think that appealed to him, so that was part of the process as well.
We are talking to Ian O'Connor. All right, so what about Belichick? You've studied him as much as anybody. What do you think that Belichick makes, Ian, of how this whole thing played out? For instance, is it the result that he was hoping for, that Brady would leave and that he could move on to Jarrett Stidham, or is this not going according to Belichick's plan?
Well, I think he was certainly willing to have Tom Brady be his quarterback again next season under Belichick's terms. It had to be his terms. And if it wasn't going to be his terms, then I think he did want to make the change. Now, years ago, he told people he was looking forward to the day where he could try to win a championship with a different quarterback. Nothing against Tom Brady. He understood everything that Brady meant to Belichick's own legacy. But it was a challenge that I think he was looking forward to in the person of Jimmy Garoppolo. That was supposed to be the guy. It didn't happen. Now it's Jarrett Stidham. And I do think this is going to reinvigorate Belichick's career. In fact, I think he's going to win the AFC East. Until somebody in that division can prove they can take that division title away from Belichick, I'll believe it when I see it. So I think whether it's Jarrett Stidham or some other quarterback that he signs, I think they should still be considered the favorite to win the AFC East.
Bills Mafia will not like that, Ian, but I see you working. I know what you're talking about. Now, nobody stays with the Patriots forever. Most guys leave before they're done. Could you make the argument that Brady is actually the first Patriots star to leave on his own terms?
You could make that argument, even though the counter-argument is, well, Belichick could have offered him, by not offering him 2 years with a $50 million guarantee like Tampa Bay did, he was basically sending Brady a message that he wanted him to leave. However, I think one of the greatest accomplishments in Tom Brady's career, beyond the 6 rings, of course, and all the division titles, is that he outplayed the Belichick system. The software did not account for Tom Brady forcing Belichick, basically, effectively, to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, his chosen successor. He's really the first made man in New England to outplay the Belichick system. And so by leaving on his own terms, by announcing it on social media, he took ownership of that, and it was Tom Brady's way of saying, I'm going to dictate how I leave, even if Belichick doesn't really necessarily want me back. So I think that that actually is a pretty significant career accomplishment for Brady beyond the 6 rings.
I think that's really interesting what you just said. All right, so what about Brady? What's your sense as to where he is physically right now as he prepares for a season where he will be 43?
Well, you look at his numbers, they certainly declined last year. There's no question about that, but you have to wonder how much of that was the fact that his receivers could get no separation whatsoever. I still think he's got a lot of football left in him, and I remember talking to him for about 45 minutes on the phone a few years ago where we were talking about him playing beyond age 45. I actually think he's not going to stop at 45 as long as he's playing at a fairly high level and he's healthy. I think he'll go to 46, 47, and we did talk about that. He said, if I'm 45 and I feel good, even though that's the number I've put out there, I don't see why I would stop. So I think he's looking at this Tampa Bay journey, Jim, as more than 2 years. I think he's looking at this as maybe a 4 to 5 year proposition and really trying to have a second career down there with again, a franchise that has had the least amount of success of any team in the four major sports.
So, Ian, before you go, quickly, how much of this is about, when we think about Tom Brady, we think about him trying to be self-actualized, we think about him trying to, and it is a lifestyle, it's part of his business, of course, off the field, but how much of this is about him motivated to prove that he was more successful and a bigger part of that dynasty than even the coach himself?
Sure, that's part of it. I think that they both have that, Belichick and Brady, deep down. They wanted to find out. Well, guess what? Now they have the opportunity. Who is the more critical figure in that dynasty? Was it Belichick or was it Brady? And if you read what Brady wrote on the Players Tribune yesterday, Jim, there was a lot in there. There were some passive-aggressive jabs, I thought, at Belichick. He barely even mentioned him. He mentioned him one time in passing in a piece that was, what, 2,500 words. So I do think there's a big part of Brady that feels like, and he said it in that piece, he's got something to prove. And a big part of that is proving it without Bill Belichick.
I did notice that. That was a long piece, and he really did not mention him very often at all. So, Ian, before you go, a few weeks back, the 92, this off-topic, Duke-Kentucky game was re-aired. You tweeted that it was, quote, the best basketball game I've ever covered, college or pro. That's obviously incredibly high praise. The ending was legendary, but when you think about that game overall, what kind of memories do you have?
Well, the memory of Sean Woods of Kentucky, the shot he made to beat Hurley off the dribble, Bobby Hurley, one of the greatest point guards of all time in college basketball, then to take that shot over Leitner and bank it in with 2.1 seconds left. That shot largely got forgotten, but that would have gone down as maybe the greatest shot ever in the NCAA tournament before Leitner made his greatest shot ever. So I remember just the looks on the Kentucky players' faces, the devastation after that game. It was haunting, really, as great a sporting event as it was to cover and be at. The pain and devastation on the Kentucky players' faces, I will take that to my grave. I'll never forget those images.
He is a senior writer for ESPN. He is the author of four books, three of them New York Times bestsellers. The list of books includes Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time, and again, a really, really good piece up right now where Ian O'Connor breaks down Tampa Bay and how they developed a plan to sign Tom Brady. Ian, it's great to have you back on this show. I always look forward to the conversation. Ian, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you, Jim. Much appreciated.
You too, Ian. Well done. Really well done. He is a great journalist. Ian O'Connor, senior writer for ESPN.